Yeah, Father, I just thank you for Chris, Father. Thank you for his heart for everybody, Father. And I just ask that you speak through him this morning, Father, that what he speaks from his mouth will come from his heart, Father, and you will make a difference in people's lives with it. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Well, good morning. Are you doing good? Hey. Wow, wow, wow. Who knows what season we're in? Spring.
Almost
spring. You're right. Yeah, March, right. It is spring. I think so. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Two weeks ago, we were up in the northeast where it definitely wasn't spring. And it was, my goodness, the wind came fresh from Norway. I said to one or two of you, we drove up to Edinburgh one day and had the tour around the castle. I hadn't been to Edinburgh since I was 15. It was just stunning. It was really stunning. And the tour guide was telling us all about the castle. He said, "Welcome to the Scottish sun. Bright blue skies and absolutely no heat at all," and which was exactly true because it was freezing up there. But it was nonetheless it was glorious. So yeah. So you know, God is very good, isn't He? How often? Right. Whether you're doing good or whether you're doing bad, whether you're 100% or 0%. You know, I've worked out that when I come to worship, I worship Him on the basis of who He is, not on the basis of how I'm doing. Right? So one of my aims is that you won't be able to tell how I'm doing from the way in which I worship. Indeed. Yeah, very good. I'm coming to see you tomorrow, aren't I? but that's true, because I don't want there to be any difference in how I approach Him, because my approach to Him is solely on the basis of the work that Jesus did on the cross, the forgiveness that I have, all that I have in Him. It's solely that. And so I don't want to go up and down in my response or attitude or the way in which I worship. Amen? And I just want to encourage you to do the same. I think I told that, do you find that the Holy Spirit brings things to mind when you're in the presence of God? Yeah? Three of us. Okay. Where's the rest of you? and that happens to me a lot. And I brought that little story out of James Maloney's life because I've been stood on platforms. I've never had the Taliban walk in, armed to the teeth, AK-47s, bullet belts, grenades, everything. It's not the way I would normally dress for church. you know? And we get intimidated, don't we? Right? But he didn't that day. And, wouldn't you like to get down in front of the main guys? Put your nose on his and roar like a lion. I mean, you know, it's a great story, isn't it? But it's also a great picture of the relationship that we have with the enemy. Hello? Yeah. So, you know, when he's harassing you, right, we don't need to be intimidated, because he goes around like a roaring lion, but he isn't one. And the lion of the tribe of Judah is where? Come on. So we can roar. Right? I know it got everybody in trouble in Toronto, didn't it? I mean, it just did. It's, remember what they said? It's not the vineyard, it's the barnyard. all of that. It was, you know, it was, anyway, don't really need to go back there too much, but that's who we are. Who gets intimidated in life? Right? Remember the song we used to sing a lot? I'm no longer a slave to fear. Doesn't mean that you don't feel it. Right? You don't have to bow down to it, because the truth is that he's the same. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. All right. So, who remembers what Keith brought 2 weeks ago? Does Keith remember? That look said everything. Right. He talked about the purity of our hearts, and he gave us three, you know, he called them suggestions. I would call them instructions, right? Instructions on how to keep our hearts in good shape. Number one, who can remember what it was? Number one, guard your hearts. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your hearts with all diligence, because it is the wellspring of life. It's everything you do flows from what is in your heart, right? Everything that's in your heart bleeds into what you do. And if what's in your heart isn't good, then it will corrupt your actions and reactions, okay? So why the healing of the heart is so important, and why we put so much emphasis on it, okay? His second suggestion, stroke instruction, was what? Ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart and to show you what's in your heart. You know, if you go rooting around in your life looking for stuff, you never come out of that well, do you? Right? Once you become introspective, it's not a recipe for success. So it's important that we ask the Holy Spirit and learn to listen to him. Who can remember how to listen to the Holy Spirit, how to hear his voice? Four easy steps. What are they? Calm yourself. Come on, let's stand up. Let's do this together. It is my favorite. This is Christian aerobics at its finest. Okay, so step number one is calm yourselves down. Step number two, fix your eyes on Jesus. Step number three, tune in to the flow of the Holy Spirit. Step number four, write it down. Okay, for the sit down. Thank you for at least humoring me. But how many of us find it easy to just sit and listen to him? Right? But it comes with practice, doesn't it? When we set out, usually we had to learn how to discern his voice, how to calm our hearts, how to focus on him, how to get to know the word of God that details the kind of things that he wants to say to us. We have to learn how to tune into him, and it is a process, and that's why I just want to keep putting this before you. So the second instruction that Keith gave us was to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what's in your heart and what needs to be healed, what's there that shouldn't be there, what's kind of there, but maybe it's in the wrong has the wrong priority. And okay, so I really want to encourage you to keep going with that. All right, what was the third one? What was the third, Keith's third instruction? No, not the third step. It was to take a Sabbath rest, right? To stop, and it is this thing, to create space to be able to listen, okay? Ask the Holy Spirit, but take time. Not just, it's more than turning the telly off, or turning your phone off. It's sitting in his presence, fixing your eyes, feasting upon him, taking some time and allowing him to speak to you in that place. Who's too busy? Three of us. What are the rest of you doing? Right. Right. Who has the television on, or the radio, or YouTube, or whatever it is, 24/7? What when you get in the car, what's the first thing you do? Put your seatbelt on, start the engine, and then what? Okay, John looks ahead, right. Right. But how many of us, the first thing we do is put the radio on or the CD, or it's already on. It never got turned off, right. That's you know. And I'm not against that because, you know, I get a lot of my worship music off YouTube, so I can't have that in the car. But we do end up getting lots and lots of noise. And I don't want to take live worship off of YouTube or whatever it is away from you. Honestly, I don't want to do that. What I'm saying to you is find time and space for some Sabbath rest, that place of rest where we're not working hard, not trying hard, not, and we're just resting in his presence, enjoying him and allowing him to speak to us, all right? So I just felt it was really important that I remind you of that. Who can remember what Stuart brought last week? Pardon? Sowing and reaping, yeah. What was the title of what Stuart brought? What is God building in your heart? Okay. What is God building in you? And he talked about the need to build on peace, not destruction, right? Not mess. We have to clear up all of our messes, but you can't build on that. We need to be continually surrendering our will for his. We need to be listening to his voice because faith comes by hearing. That will take us forwards, but hearing is not enough. The blessing and the growth comes as we apply his word to our lives, and we need to be doing that consistently. And he made the point at the end that sowing and reaping, that process takes time. Yeah, you don't sow today and reap tomorrow. Some months ago, the directors took the decision to increase the amount of money that we give away as a church. So we've always given, I think, 10% of our given income to ministries and things outside of our own needs. And we wanted to increase the supply of finance and resources into the church. So what do we do? We increased what we sowed outside, and I think it's true to say that we have seen an increase in the supply into the church. Hey, so it doesn't just mean that we all get bigger salaries. In fact, it doesn't mean that at all. But it creates opportunities and opens ways for the future. So God is building stuff in our lives, all right? It's important to me that I live full of the Holy Spirit. I'm not perfect at that, but it is something that I take very consciously and very seriously in my walk with God. It's a regular thing for me to do what Keith has said, to check out my own heart, to ask the Holy Spirit to show me, to the person who shows me more than anybody else probably is my wife, and she challenges me. Oh, there you are. What are you doing here? That's right. Yeah, I preach this morning. She preaches this afternoon. Her sermon to me will be practice what you preach. So, but it's important that we live full, not just full, but living overflowing, and that should be our experience in life. Well, hey, come on, there's some great ringtones, aren't there? And that's what I want to do. Last Sunday, I didn't know what Stuart was going to be speaking. I'd not actually caught up on the word that Keith had brought the previous week. But while I'm sat in the meeting, that picture that I brought of the jar and for those of you who weren't here, the story is this: that a teacher came into class one morning. He had a gallon jar, a small like glass bucket, and he put some pebbles in it and filled it up to brim full. And he asked the class, "Is the jar full?" And they said, "Yeah." And so then he took some ball bearings and poured them into the jar, gave it a shake, they settled down, and then he poured some more in until it was full. And then he said, "Is the jar full?" And they said, "Yes." And then he took a bag of very dry, fine sand and began to pour that into the top of the jar and gave it a shake, and you could see it settling down through the pebbles and the ball bearings until it was full. And then he said, the pebbles represent your walk with God, getting your life built on Christ, the way that you love, the way that you serve, the way that you lay down your life, the way that you honor him and others. The ball bearings represent things like paying the mortgage and getting your kids to school and getting to work on time and all those other important things, feeding your family, taking care of them well. And the sand represents things like your leisure time and what car you like to buy and where you go on holiday and all those kind of things. And then he had a couple of cans of beer there as well. And one of the students said, "Well, what does the beer represent?" Well, he opened one of them and he poured that in as well. And he said, "There's always room for a couple of cans of beer." And it's about getting our priorities straight. You know, when we come out of the world into the Christian life, it's really hard, isn't it, to... You know, are we trying to fit God around all of our existing processes and things in life, or are we really giving him the first place in our life, the prime place? Because once you've filled your life up with ball bearings and sand, you can't put pebbles into that mix. It's really difficult. You know, you can kind of push them down, you can get one or two in, but then you've got a mess because everything's flowing out, overflowing over the side. And it's just really important that we get it absolutely straight. If you've got your Bibles, you can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Remember that we are called temples of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we have a different... hold on, I pressed the wrong button. We have a different picture that Paul uses here. So verse 7, it says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." We are jars of clay. And what they're referring to here is an earthenware jar that would be a common vessel in their houses. They didn't really have kitchens as we know them. They certainly didn't have fridge freezers. They didn't have Tupperware and all that stuff. Their foodstuffs would have been contained in these earthenware jars. And those jars weren't particularly attractive. They were just functional. And if you dropped it, it broke. They were easily cracked, easily damaged, had no real natural beauty to them. But it's what was in them that was really important. And so Paul uses this picture to call us jars of clay. But we have this treasure within. It's the treasure of the Holy Spirit. It's the treasure of the light of God. And one of the things I love is looking at people. And, you know, sometimes you meet somebody and there's just the glory of God permeates from them. Yeah? And that's how I want to be. When people meet me, I want them to, I don't want my stuff that's clogging up my life to be clogging up the Holy Spirit and the presence of God. I want people, when they meet me, I want them to encounter him. Because I am a clay jar. I am an earthenware vessel. But I'm full of treasure. Full of the treasure of the Holy Spirit. And anybody else like that? Yeah? Right. I have this treasure within me. I do. Tell your neighbor, I have this treasure within me. Right. Tell your other neighbor, you do too. I have this treasure within me. This gold, this the most precious thing, the presence of God, set in an earthen vessel. And I don't want the fragility of the earthenware vessel to suggest to me that I don't have the strength of God within me. I don't want the fact that my earthenware vessel has got a bit biffed and bruised and broken over the years and actually, you see, the thing is, it's not been patched up, right? When it gets cracked, you can't look at it and see the, super glue all up the side or it's all wrapped up in sellotape. You know how as kids we used to try and repair things, we broke our toy and I've got no better idea how to fix it than to get the sellotape out and make a mess with it. It's not got loads of glue all over it. And no, when he heals us, he heals us from the inside out, doesn't he? And he restores us properly, completely, so you can't see the repair. Isn't that right? Isn't that the way he does it? Yeah? Amen? So I don't want the reality of the fragility of the earthen vessel that I am to detract from my appreciation of the gold and the treasure that is set within me. Yeah? Paul goes on, doesn't he, in that passage, which we read it, and he says, you see all these contrasts. We're hard-pressed on every side, but what? Not crushed. Yeah? We're perplexed, right? We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. And, our earthen vessels come under all this pressure. Right? And we're very aware of it. Very aware of it. But what we should be aware of is the treasure that is within. Right? Whatever happens to your earthen vessel can be healed, repaired, put back as good as new. Yeah? Yeah? So when we walk in here, when we gather, whether we're gathering or whether we're simply sitting before the Lord ourselves, that's what we should be aware of. not the brokenness of our earthen vessel, but the treasure that we have within, the reality of who he is in us. Amen. There's, you know, Paul got criticized for his ordinariness, didn't he? They said he was unimpressive. It's not an accusation that we would level at him today, because we were just so impressed with how he gave his life and how he spent his life, and much of the New Testament we have because of what he wrote. But he says our momentary troubles are achieving a greater glory, right? So some of us have some difficult circumstances. And who has some difficult circumstances, right? You're looking for, you're needing to find work. You want a job. You want a real breakthrough. Not just that you want to, you know, I guess you could go and get a job at McDonald's, but you're wanting more than that. And so if that's you, just stand where you are, if you can. If you can't, just raise your hand. Okay. Who of us have? I've had this. You know, let me just level you. I've had just sinus trouble for a week or 10 days. And is there anybody out there with sinus who's you know, struggling with their sinuses? Okay. So let's have you stood as well. And anybody with a pain in the hip? Yep, right, okay. Well, we're all on board. I had something else, which I can't think of at the moment. All right. So let's just reach out to the Lord, okay? Because all of these things are things about the earthen vessel. And so, Lord, we want to just declare that we are full of the treasure of the Holy Spirit today. God, we want to just confess that you are so good, far better than we can understand or comprehend. And so, Lord, we receive today, Lord, blessing into our lives, Lord, healing, Lord, into the hips, the sinuses, any other damage to our bodies, any other illness, Lord, we receive healing now in Jesus' name. God, we receive breakthrough. Lord, where we're perplexed, Lord, we declare that we're not in despair. God, where we've been struggling, Lord, to find a way through, Lord, we choose to open our eyes and fix our eyes upon you. And Lord, we embrace truth and life, Lord, into dark areas. So, Lord, we bless you. Father, I thank you that you have everything that we need in your hand. And so, Lord, we reach out to receive now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Terada bakasomba. Yes, Lord. Yeah, God, you are good. You are so good. Okay, take your seats again. When Israel came out of Egypt, where did they go? Right? Where did they go? It's not a trick question. Into the desert, didn't they? Right? How long were they meant to be in the desert? Yeah. They were there for 40 years, but how long should they have been there? Should have been there, well, 11 days journey, wasn't it, through there? Should have been there a couple of weeks. Why were they there so long? Unbelief, they rebelled, didn't they? Okay. They came out of slavery into a place of freedom, but they never enjoyed the freedom that they had because of their rebellion. And then there was a change of season when they crossed the Jordan into the Promised Land, right? Which is where they were always meant to go, right? we develop mindsets. You know, we've talked about this a lot last year, didn't we? The mindsets that we develop that need to change. How many of us came through that whole renewing the mind season with a profound understanding that we have to challenge every thought that we have that doesn't line up with the Word of God, right? That was one of the, you know, I think when we asked for testimonies, that was the thing that people found hard to define, but they realized that that's what was happening to them through that season. So when they came to the Jordan, the season changed, right? Because they came out of Egypt where they experienced what? Severe lack, right? To say the least, severe lack. And then they're in the desert. They have freedom, but they're not able to enjoy their freedom. But they have miraculous provision. Yeah? Every day it comes to them. Every day. Yeah? Well, 6 days a week, but on the day before the Sabbath, you take a double share, but you can't keep it for the future because it'll go rotten. So out of Egypt, out of that place of severe lack to a place of miraculous provision, and then crossing the Jordan where they needed to change mindset into the promised land, where the miraculous supply stopped. Right? So the miracles in the promised land were no longer miracles that were done for them. It wasn't what was given to them, but it was what was done through them. Change your mindset. Change your season. Right? What's God building in you? Are we able to, I want to say, expand our hearts, but change the way in which we think, and change the way in which we approach things to expect that God will meet us? I bless you for your testimony this morning. And the lottery really isn't the way in which God has purposed to supply us, right? Right? But she chose to sow. I heard another story. This happened over at Bethel, where a single mum. She got 2 weeks, I think, to go before she was going to get paid again, and she had $5, and she thought, "What the heck? I'll buy a cup of coffee at church with it." And then during the meeting, she thought, "No, I'll put it in the offering." So she put her $5 in the offering, not knowing what was going to happen that morning, because it was a morning where they got all the single mothers to stand. And she's a new Christian. And in Bethel, on Mother's Day, they get the single mothers to stand, and then they ask everybody else to take whatever cash they've got and put it into the hands of one of these single mums. She went home with $495. Who says there's time between sowing and reaping? It doesn't always happen that way, because we'd turn it into a racket, wouldn't we? You know, we're just trying to work a system. But, yeah. Right? Sow and reap. If you don't like what you're reaping, change what you're sowing. Okay. What's God building in you? I think I'm gonna call it there. You know, last night I watched the Liverpool Arsenal match. Anybody else see it? Hey, right. Yeah. Are there any Arsenal supporters here? Oh, I'm sorry, Chris. But hey, it's not all bad news, because you did get one goal. I walk with the Holy Spirit. You see, why am I talking about Liverpool and Arsenal? Because largely Liverpool is safe ground here, isn't it? There's so many Liverpool supporters that... The first half, Liverpool Probably the best display of the season. It was fantastic. Fantastic football to watch. They were all over Arsenal. Two goals up, could have been more. Fantastic display. I thought, you know, I think I've invited the guys round probably three times to watch Arsenal this season, and it's all been rubbish. It's been really rubbish matches. But this time, they were all over Arsenal. At half time, Arsene Wenger brought on Sanchez. He's their best player, really, best player in the team. And he'd had him sit out on the bench for the first half. And Arsenal were nowhere. It was a mess, an absolute mess. But the second half was radically different. They got their best player on the pitch, and they came back to 2-1, and their performance was very, very different. Why am I saying all that? Who's our best player? Him, the Holy Spirit in us. Do we keep him sat on the bench effectively? Are there times when we do, when we don't listen, when we don't involve him, when we don't yield to him, when we think we got better answers than he has? All right. If the football thing doesn't do it for you, just take the lesson from it, okay? But we want the Holy Spirit flowing through us, engaged with us. When we take steps, we take them in him. When we sow, we're not just sowing on our own, we're sowing in him. We're sowing under his power, his anointing, his leading, his directing. Amen? Does that make sense? Come on, let's stand up. Father, we want to bless you. I want to encourage you in the ministry time, and ministry team, if you could come forwards, that'd be really good. There should be some movement. Ministry team, you should know who you are. If you could come forwards and just come across the front. Yeah. Anywhere where we have wrong priorities, anywhere where there is sinfulness, sin having influence in our lives, choices that we're making that we know are wrong that need to change, I want to ask you to, you know, as we close the meeting, to just to come and begin to deal with those issues with one of the ministry team. If you know you still have the legacy of wounds, your earthen vessel, your clay jar is cracked and broken. If you know that fear is dominating your or influencing choices and decisions that you make, you know, fear is faith put in the wrong things. Okay, then I want you to just come and find, you know, have one of the guys pray with you this morning and begin to yield that part of your life. Amen? Because we don't want our best player kept on the sidelines. We want him to be able to lead the team. Yeah? Amen? So, Father, we bless you. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Lord, we want to thank you that your heart is always towards us, that your eyes are upon us, Lord. The eyes of fire, eyes of love, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you that you're always good in every season. I want to thank you for healing us, restoring us, delivering us, and recreating us, Lord. And Lord, to your divine purpose in Jesus' name. Amen.